Everybody loves a hero.
People line up for them, cheer them, scream their names, and years later they'll tell how they stood in the rain for hours just to get a glimpse of the one who taught him to hold on a second longer. I believe there's a hero in all of us that keeps us honest, gives us strength, makes us noble, and finally allows us to die with pride, even though sometimes we have to be steady and give up the thing we want the most. Even our dreams. Spider-Man did that for Henry, and he wonders where he's gone. He needs him.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking.
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 500. I'm Matt Dirksen.
I'm John Jameson Hunt.
Oh man, you screwed me up. You screwed me up.
Oh no.
Clay Jonah Jameson here.
Oh, that's good luck.
That all stays in. 500 episodes in, and I thought of that on my walk earlier today. And then you said Jameson, and it fucked me all up right when I was about to say it.
I only thought of that like 2 seconds before I said it.
Wow. I mean, I never do it, so it's okay. But yeah, I'm glad you guys think about this.
Well, that's what we're about. It's thinking about comics and thinking
that's
about
right.
Funny names since
2009. Print the legend.
Print the legend. It's about 500.
Yeah, well, this is going to be our final episode, so yeah. Tom and Tim, rest in peace.
No, there's like new Toms and Tims that think they're the Tom and Tim now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, I was joking around on Instagram, as I do.
As one does.
I posted a picture from the elevator. It said, nice Spidey suit. And then I said, we're going to relaunch at a new number one, but we'll hide the legacy numbering somewhere on the cover somewhere.
Nice.
Right.
So that's
and we'll
the
get
plan.
Andrew Garfield to come in and be me. How about that?
Yeah, well, it'll be good. Be a nice a new dynamic.
Sure.
Tom Holland will come in for me.
But
there you go.
Yeah. I'm going to get the 70s guy.
You're going to get Nicholas Hammond.
Hammond. Nicholas Hammond's going to come in for me.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, in case people didn't know from all the Spider-Man references, we were going to do Spider-Man 2 this episode. This is League versus Spider-Man 2, because for episode 400, we did a watch-along for Spider-Man, the 2002 Sam Raimi Spider-Man. And because it was pandemic times and we were kind of like, you know, let's try something different. And we tried a watch along so we could take a good part of the day, which we didn't know what to do with ourselves. So it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, missed those days, huh?
Yeah, right?
Right.
It'll be a nice little bookend kind of thing, I guess, to do Spider-Man 2 for 500. But we're not doing Spider-Man 3, I don't think, ever, because
I will
complete
that. I like it fine. But I will recognize that I don't think it's League versus worthy, and it's not a very good movie.
All right.
Even Sam Raimi doesn't think it's a very good movie. So.
Yeah. Interference, you gotta say.
Yeah, there might be stuff to talk about, but I don't think I could sit and watch it. You know what I mean? Oof. Anyway.
I definitely could. That's a difference. I definitely could watch it.
I mean, I could watch
that's
it.
That's what always impresses me about you, Clayford J. Clayford J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, I got to say, even just the number one and number two, definitely. And even number three.
Number two.
Number three? Oh
Number three, I think that's puking. Number four is when you're shitting and puking at the same time.
What's a twat? Number
Yeah, that's a
twat.
twunt. No, but I really
Number
do feel
twat.
like Raimi really gets, I enjoyed these first two movies especially because it really does feel like comic book on the page. Like it really gets Spider-Man, you know? That's what I like
Yes,
about it.
I agree with you on that. And back then, like this was, we didn't have a lot. There was this
I was
couple X-Men movies.
when I was doing a little bit of my research, I was thinking back to how special this was when it was the first two movies, what a big deal. They were everywhere, you know, it's just Spider-Man
Yeah.
everywhere. And now it's just like, oh, this is another Marvel thing. I don't think I'm
Yeah, now
gonna
people
watch.
get mad. People are
Yeah.
like, there's too much.
There is too much. It's all crap now.
Well, they are crap.
And
We haven't seen
I
a
love
Marvel
Tom
movie.
Holland too, but you know, like much like people would say, like Michael Keaton's my Batman or Christian Bale's my Batman, but Pattinson isn't or whatever. Like Tobey Maguire is like he pretty much nails it. Like he's not the who I picture in my mind facially as Peter Parker, but I think he nails it.
Yeah, he's got,
Yeah.
I think he's got the Peter Parker parts down. I don't think they, I
Right.
think Andrew Garfield actually had the Spider-Man parts down.
Yeah, he was good too.
Yes. Yes.
I think I 100% agree with what you just said.
Very well.
How about that?
Cool. End of podcast. Good to 500
All
guys.
right.
See
See ya.
you at the new number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this was a big deal, as John mentioned. If 20 years ago it came out, let me see the exact date
It's
here.
like
20 years ago.
May
20.
4th.
It was June 24,
How
June
about
25th, 2004.
the first Spider-Man must have been sometime in May then?
Yeah, because they did the free comic book day things back
Ah,
then.
yeah, that's when it all started.
Yeah, so actually, it was released officially across the country June 30th, 2004. So yeah, just about 20 years ago. So it's pretty cool. I mean,
Yes.
I didn't even plan it that way. I knew it was a while ago, but I didn't think, oh, it's 20 years. So 20 years. Do we want to start with the plot?
Yeah,
Or
start with the plot, I guess.
well, let me just
Start
say
with the
really
plot.
quick. The budget was 200 million and the gross 789 million. That's pretty,
Yeah, pretty
it's a
good.
pretty penny. Good
Yeah, didn't
job,
make as
Raimi.
didn't make as much as the first one though, despite the fact that most people, except probably Durson, feel that this was superior to the first movie. Well, yeah.
Olivia Rod
I didn't
made his
Clay
paycheck.
to be
Yeah, sorry,
spoiled.
did I give it away?
It's okay.
Spoilers.
It'll come out.
I guess we'll get there to ratings and stuff, but I mean, these movies came out so long ago, and I have always said like, let's do Blade, and then I'm sorry and ashamed I made you guys watch Daredevil, but all of these like early movies, like you said, like Spider-Man was a big fucking deal, dude, and
It
I
was.
was way into it,
Oh, I
like
totally
just
was way
around the
into
time
it.
I started getting into comics again and stuff.
Ah, very good. Well, yeah, this was kind of like a thing. Marvel was doing like Ultimate Spider-Man and stuff kind of around this time, right? Early 2000s.
That's correct.
So that kind of got me back into comics too. So, I mean, it was a big deal. And if you weren't around for that 20 years ago, well, just take
Just
our
know
word
it was
for
a big deal.
it. It was bigger than the stuff they do now. You're right, because
Yeah, it was the equivalent of the 89 Batman. It was just everywhere. And it was the fastest movie to get to 100 million. It made it all in that, well, the first Spider-Man, where it made like 114 million in its opening weekend and stuff. And it was like, oh, wow, look at all this. Now that's chicken shit money.
And they had to figure out a lot of the technical stuff, and with the spider cam and everything and stuff they would just do like in the volume now or whatever. Like, you know, this is like, I don't know, both of these movies like made, you know, Star Wars type
Well,
advancements in the field.
and to tie into that, Star Wars type advancement is because it was also with John Dykstra, who was the one that created motion control for the first Star Wars movie. So he won the Academy Award for this one.
Yeah,
Like
I mean
the
that's
only,
great.
I think it's like the only superhero movie to win an Oscar or something like that.
I can't
I
be
could have
wrong.
that wrong.
I thought, didn't someone win something for Black Panther? Oh, wait, no.
Well,
Well,
yeah,
just
no,
mean
and
in visual effects kind of stuff, or because walk.
Heath Ledger won
Ledger,
for
yeah, I'm gonna say
Joker.
the wrong Joker.
Yeah, I mean, and now I'm sure there's been a lot. I mean, it might have been the first. I don't know if it's the only. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. But
As far as I
well,
know.
there's so many now that, you know,
Right.
there's so many superhero movies. So it's just
Yeah, I
kind of
mean,
like, oh, right, that
even
was
we
even a
won
superhero movie.
Academy Awards for
Yeah,
more
right.
superhero stuff. So, no big deal now.
It's
Big
chicken shit money now.
That's what he says in Smoking the Bandit, right? I'm trying to
I don't remember.
paraphrase
I just thought it was
it.
funny.
It's that Big Enos says it to him. He's like, if you win this race, it's something, something. And he gives him the thing. And he's like, chicken shit money.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
Smokey and
can't
the
wait till we
Bandit.
just randomly do like a movie like that. That'll be good.
Ah,
I don't
I'd be
know.
fine with that.
Next
I
100.
kind of want to do it. At the same time, I don't know if I want to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel that there's like
Yeah.
so many like southern kind of things that don't play well to a lot of people now. Yeah.
Sure.
But I don't know. I don't
Like
care.
a, well, we
It
didn't
seems it has
write
that
the
flavor.
movie. No, we didn't. We were just teaching it in college in our film
That's right. I did
classes.
say I would teach it because the dialogue is so snappy. All right, but we're not doing that. Tonight we're doing Spider-Man 2. The first thing when I clicked play, it was that old Marvel logo. I kind of missed that.
I like that one the best out of all
Yeah, that was cool. It's just like
That's the
the
best one.
yeah, like the pages flipping and everything. It was cool. And now it's a little busy and I get it, like they had to fit everybody in, but yeah, I like the simple one back in the day.
Me too.
And we
And then
got the Danny
everybody threw
Elfman.
their take on it too at the time. Like DC was trying their version of it. Like everybody was like, I'm gonna do a Marvel type logo. And it would just be like a weird. It's just come up with something original, you jerks. All right, go on, Danny.
Yeah, you jerks. Anyway, yeah, Danny Elfman is back. The score from the first one.
But
I
Danny
like
Elfman
it.
and Raimi had a bit of a falling out in this movie because Raimi
Oh,
kept
they
wanting to
did,
use
yeah.
stuff from like Hellraiser, and so they ended up just licensing out music from Hellraiser or something like that, and Elfman was just like, I can't do this. And then that caused a lot of tension between them,
Oh my
because he was
God.
using a lot of temp tracks from Hellraiser and stuff while they were editing the movie, and Raimi became really attached to it. So he kept going, make it sound more like this. Christopher, whatever his name is, that came in and did some stuff.
Yes, whatever his name is. That's interesting. I didn't know. I did not
Yeah,
know
then
that.
they didn't speak to each other for a bunch of years until they sort of patched things up for Oz, the Great and Powerful Oz.
The Great and Powerful, that's a bad movie with James Franco,
I
star
don't
of
like James Franco. I never did,
Spider-Man.
and now it's okay to not like him, but I haven't liked him.
Right. Yeah, he's been canceled. So
I do like the also the Alex Ross Spider-Man stuff in this like little beginning logo part. Like
yeah.
the beginning of the first movie is cool, and this one is also very cool.
Yeah, don't they do sort of like painting of like stuff that
It's
happened, right?
like
Over
the
the credits.
Superman 2 opening, except with instead of clips, it's paintings from the first movie.
Yeah. I mean, the Superman 2
And
opening,
it
they show
doesn't
like
go on
half the
for
first
4 hours.
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so after the credits, Peter is like narrating, oh, how sad. And he's whatever. And he's looking at a big billboard of Mary Jane. Kirsten Dunst. I do have to
Just
say, as
for
much as you
Kirsten.
like, oh, Tobey Maguire and all that, she wasn't Mary Jane. I didn't
That's
really
not Blossom.
feel. That's not Blossom. Yeah, I didn't feel her. I just thought she was a little too serious, a little too like dramatic. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't mind her, but I don't. She wouldn't have been my first choice.
No,
Not my
yeah.
favorite. All right, good.
She's not my favorite.
Anyways, it's the whole thing. He can't tell her, and he can't be with her because it could put her in danger. you know, he's talking about his responsibilities, and it turns out he's a pizza delivery guy, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But the guy's yelling at him. He's not dependable. They have the 29 minutes or it's free thing, which Domino's used to do, and then like they had to get rid of it because too many people were getting accidents.
Yeah, accidents to get them there. Yeah.
Yeah. But I kind of like it. Like the guy's yelling at him, and he's like, "Where are you? You're never here." And he's like putting his mask like in his pocket. I thought that was kind of a nice touch. But yeah, so he's like, "You got to get 8 pizzas across town. You have 24 minutes or whatever." And he changed it to Spidey to swing it. And it's fun. He's like, "Woohoo! I like it." But those pizzas must be shit.
it's like a web on one slice and the box is all crushed.
I have a knowledge drop, a Marvel Easter egg knowledge drop. The address for that pizza place is actually 177A Bleecker Street, the place of Dr. Strange.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
This is what you get when you listen to League Podcast.
That's right.
It was the old address of the old Marvel offices or something.
Yeah, that's what you're gonna say, but I like it. Oh, we're using our superhero names. I'm Spider-Man. Anyway, I like it when he finally gets to the place because he has to stop and save some kids on the way. It's like all these, there's like a police chase. It's a whole thing and whatever. But when he's in the closet changing back into Peter Parker and all the mops are falling. I mean, it's amusing. It shows it's classic Peter Parker look, like you said, Clay, Parker look.
Yeah, and I could picture like this scene specifically being in a comic book. You know what I mean? Like with sound effects, like Russell, mop fall sound effect.
Mop would like hit him in the head. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the woman like is looking at him and he walks up and he's like,
Bones?
She looks very familiar, but I don't know who that is.
Well, I'll look it up.
But I love it. He's so funny. He's like, pizza time. And she's like, you're late. I'm not paying for this. And so that's it. And so he goes back and he is fired. Fired! Imagine firing Spider-Man.
That pizza must have been a mess, like you said. That guy was up trying to. He stole a slice and
he had his gross hands all over it.
That is the woman from Bones.
Oh, very good.
I saw Sam Raimi directing that actor on one of the behind the scenes thing, and he's an aggressive actor. Director, so he was like, "No mugging. That's not how you pull a pizza out of a pizza box." And like, he was like, kind of berating the poor guy. But that was all on green screen. You know what I mean? So like, he had the pizza in his hand, but nothing else. He was just up on a thing and pulling. He's like, "No, pull it out. Like you're gonna eat it."
Well, that was the Scott guy. Spiegel.
Yeah, yeah.
Screenwriter for Evil Dead 2. So he wasn't just yelling at some rando actor who didn't have any.
Yeah, it would have been like if Bruce Campbell was there doing something. He always likes to beat on all the guys he's worked with for years.
Oh yeah, Bruce like Campbell when they says, have to throw it, like glass or like dirt at the actors.
Yeah, he's always like, "I'm gonna do it."
He's someone doing it. Actually, in the first one, and we'll get there later, but in the first one where Peter. When he's like the human spider and when he's about to go out and wrestle Randy Savage, the hand that pushes him out into the arena is Sam Raimi's hand. So he does it even to
he's the man.
He does it to everybody.
Yeah.
I love it.
Is it this the one where he gets like a backpack to the face at one
yeah,
point?
Yeah, that's what we're gonna get
that's
there.
Sam Raimi. Yeah.
Yeah, like... yeah. All right. So anyway, we cut to the Daily Bugle and he was gonna sell pictures of Spider-Man because that's what Clay Jonah Jameson wants. I like Elizabeth Banks is Betty. That's sort of, and she was a young aspiring actress at the time,
and now she's kind of famous for those movies where they sing.
Yes, that's correct. The movies where they sing.
It's perfect.
Yeah, those ones, I guess.
No, she's been in a lot of stuff. She's funny. Anyways,
she's
a
good cast for it because Betty Brant is like. I don't know if they ever dated. Like, she was always with Ned Leeds.
Yeah, no, they dated at the very beginning in the old Ditko.
Yeah, but she's
a
good casting.
Panel with
she's
the good. Invisible Spider-Man pushing the two of them apart as they walk away.
Oh, yes.
Invisible Sam Raimi
Yeah,
pushing
she
you
was in
apart.
the mix. Invisible Sam Raimi. Yeah, she back then with Gwen and him and whatever.
Nice
Anyway, and
short
yeah, of
little
course we
bob,
have
black hair, boom.
the great J.K. Simmons, the best casting of any person, I think, in any Marvel movie,
Yeah,
maybe.
well, him and Robert Downey Jr., I
Yeah,
think.
they're basically the top two of anybody that they put in any movie ever. It's
Yeah, I
classic J.
mean,
Jonah Jameson.
like when he's Commissioner Gordon, it's okay, but we all know he's really J. Jonah Jameson. He's like
Right.
pitch perfect.
I
Can't
just
listen
wish
to
he
him.
had the
Perfect concert.
Parker voice, but his voice is.
Yeah. That's always the voice I will associate with J. Jonah
Yeah.
Jameson.
Anyway, he's great. So yeah, we go to ESU and yeah, he's late for class. People and Sam Raimi, although you don't see his face, is one of the people that like bumps into him, like whacks him in the face with a bag when he goes down to pick up something. It is again classic Parker shit. And Kurt Connors comes out and he's like, Parker, you missed class. He's like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to class. He's like, you missed it. It's over.
Well, I'm not going to your class.
Well, maybe. Yeah, how did he know? I think he did say, I'm going to your class. But, and we get the like, you're gonna fail. It's kind of the same thing as he just got fired. It's a whole, his life is in shambles. But he goes home and they're having a birthday party for him. His aunt and his two friends.
It's a little sad, huh?
MJ and Harry and Aunt May are the only ones there. And Harry can't even like just be like, hey, happy birthday. He's like, that fucking Spider-Man. Like, what? Will you relax, please?
Yeah, just but come on, it's a party.
Well, he says, like, I didn't mean to rag on you on your birthday, which is something we all used to say a long time ago. People might still say it. That sounded a little
I don't.
like old school to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Do people still say that? It's like, I don't think I hear that one anymore. Interesting. We're gonna bring it back, or maybe not. Is it not good? Is it not?
Is it
Sure, it's fine.
racist to say it?
Right. I don't know. But
By
he
the way, is
does.
this Kirk Connors missing an arm?
Yeah. He's
Yeah.
got it. He's got the classic Jaws tucked in his coat thing, I think.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Get this little folded jacket thing.
Yeah. This isn't the guy that, I mean, it's sort of just a reference that only comic people get because this guy's obviously, maybe he was planning to one day do a lizard movie, but.
He was. It was in
Oh,
the
okay.
planning stages at some point, and he had promised that actor that he would
Oh.
coming back as the lizard at some point,
Yeah, Bruce Campbell
but
was
it didn't
supposed
work
to be Mysterio, too.
Mysterio 2 as opposed to Mysterio 1.
Stereo as well.
And well, Jake Gyllenhaal, they almost cast Jake Gyllenhaal, the Mysterio instead of Tobey
Yes.
Maguire.
Yeah,
Interesting.
because of the whole thing with his back and the sort of
Right.
the contract dispute with Maguire, and they look close enough, I guess.
Yeah, I mean it's fine.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
He got
So
his shot.
anyways, Harry does sell in like, oh, MJ's got the hots for you, but you know, I seen the way she looks at you and stuff like that. But he's like, oh, I can't. And she also has a guy, which is John Jameson, not the one we're talking to
Not
tonight.
this one, but
Yeah.
the less handsome one.
Yes, exactly. Much less handsome. This poor schmo. I mean, the guy went to the moon, and he can't even get Mary Jane to.
Yeah. Well, the problem is he turns into a werewolf sometimes, so
Well,
that's
yeah,
a
it's some yeah.
I mean a man wolf.
Yes, that's right, man
Too
wolf.
much whacking off. His hands got furry, and then the rest of them. That's how much he whacked off.
Go listen to our werewolf episodes. Aunt May, you know, Peter sees like the bills. They're like, final notice type stuff. Aunt May is behind, and she still gives him $20. And she's like, "Don't you say no." She really lays the guilt trip on him. She's like, "It's fine. That without your Uncle Ben," like she's really.
Without your unemployed Uncle Ben. to me.
Yeah, look at that. What was that guy bringing in?
Yeah, he was looking for a job in the previous movie.
This is also perfect casting when you think of the Todd McFarlane, Eric Larson, like really shriveled Aunt May.
Yeah, no, she's great. I love Aunt May.
We should do a supercut where we put this Aunt May into a movie, and then we have Tony Stark talking about how hot his aunt is.
Rosemary Harris is a great Aunt May, but yeah, now they're always like young.
You lard me?
I mean, younger. Let's say.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like Sally Field was real young, but she just
right.
She didn't look like a decrepit old lady, and then they bring in my cousin Vinny,
Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, and then like they're like, well, we're just gonna just go right in on the hot Aunt May thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she died anyway. So. Spoiler warning.
Yeah, and even old Aunt May ended up living.
I know. I can't believe it. The way she was thrown around in this
dragged
movie.
Up a building, everything.
Yeah, Peter goes home and like his landlord's like, "Bro, rent," and he takes the $20.
You know, I think that's the guy. Remember in 2010, where the Russian guy is trying to teach John Lithgow. Or it's the other way around, where they're teaching each other Russian and English, and he's always like,
right.
it's piece of pie. It's like piece of cake. I think that's the same.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Easy as cake. Yeah. Whatever, yeah. Now we get, so he's going to introduce him to Otto Octavius, because he's going to write a paper on Otto Octavius. He's doing this fusion thing, the power of the sun and all that. And Peter needs to write a paper on him so he can pass his class, and Harry Osborn is like, fronting him the money so he can do this experiment, and he's going to introduce
Peter. He's the head of Oscorp now. He's inherited it from his dead dad, the Green Goblin.
Yeah, and Spider-Man killed him.
A jerk.
But anyways, yeah, he says, "Oh, I've heard of you. My friend Kurt Connors said you're brilliant but lazy. You're also lazy. I can't.
It's not Planet of the Apes episode.
And he played the piano anymore.
Well, I couldn't before. Anyway, yeah, it's renewable energy. His wife is there. And then they suddenly get all buddy-buddy, even though we just called them lazy. It's like, well, hey, man, you're fat. That's what I would have said.
Yeah, well, you're fat. And your wife is Captain Picard's love interest in Star Trek Insurrection.
Is that who that was? Donna Murphy. But yeah, he says, if you want to get a woman to fall in love with you, read her poetry.
And so he's like, there once was a man from Nantucket.
So anyways, he's washing his spider suit in at the laundromat. He's all like, oh, no one can know my identity. Let me just go down to the local laundromat and wash the Spider-Man suit.
Well, you know, he could have just been like, I'm cosplaying, if that was a thing.
Yeah. I don't think it was a thing then. I mean, it was a thing, but I don't think it was a term.
But, well, yeah. I'm just a dork, is what he would have said.
That's what he could say.
Just a loser with a Spider-Man costume.
Yep, just a fan. So he's reading poetry while his suit's, and of course the colors run, not like the flag.
Not the American flag, not the Punisher flag.
Yeah.
That's right.
So anyway, he's going to go to see Mary Jane's play. It's the importance of being earnest, I think, right? That's the...
Ernest goes to camp. The importance of Ernest going to camp.
Yeah, because if he doesn't go to camp, he can't make all those other movies.
Yeah, he can't go back to school. He can't save Christmas. He can't get scared stupidly.
You know, God, he did a lot of those.
Yeah, he had a show, too.
Oh, R.I.P.
Let's do an Ernest podcast instead.
You know what I mean?
So anyways, he's getting all ready, and he's swinging to the theater as Spider-Man. Of course, there's crimes and stuff that he has to stop, a big high-speed chase, the cops and whatever.
He's on his little motor scooter too, right?
Yeah, but he gets like run over.
Yeah.
Like, so whatever. He shows up, and of course, he's late. This is the classic Bruce Campbell cameo that is in every Spider-Man movie, or the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, I should say. And he is the usher, and he will not let him in because the doors have already closed. The play has already started.
And
I like this Bruce Campbell character because it reminds me of like, you guys are always like, what do you do for work? And I was like, well, I do a lot of different things. Like, I'm like a wrestling announcer one night. Another night, I'm an usher
And then
at
I
a
also work at a
play.
French restaurant. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
And then when I'm not doing that, I'll be Mysterio in the unreleased Spider-Man film.
Maybe. Yeah. Could have been Mysterio. Yeah, so he can't go in. He's all mad. He's dragging away his crushed scooter. After the play, he sees MJ meeting up with the not so handsome,
Yeah, less handsome John Jameson.
less handsome John Jameson.
Less handsome, more astronaut-y, though.
Yeah, more astronaut-y. And
Nutty
he's all sad.
astronaut.
And he starts to swing off, and his webs don't work. And he falls. And it's
I
kind of, this
heard
is
this
actually
guy.
a funny thing. When he rides the elevator down, and the guy's like, "Nice Spider-Man suit," he's like, "Yeah, it rides up the crotch or whatever."
It's a
Like,
bit itchy. As the guy
yeah,
from Queer as Folk and who was also in a bunch of those, I love the 80s things on VH1 back in the day.
oh.
I love that scene. It's really funny and a knowledge drop too. When throughout the movie, Sam Raimi had trouble framing, probably not this scene, it was pretty easy to do, but he never wanted to show the suit with Spidey and not show the spider on it. So like he was very careful that like when you're like looking at Spidey in the front, from the front view, you almost always see like a full length big ass spider. This new costume that they made a new costume. I like this costume, by the way. It's an iteration after the first one, but
Even though
I
it's a
think it's
little
cool. I
itchy in
thought it
the
was weird
crotch.
at the time. Yeah,
Oh.
I thought it was weird at the time with the raised bumps on it, but I'm into it now. I like
Yeah,
it.
it's fine. But you know what? I never had any issues with it. I always liked it well enough. I think the second Amazing Spider-Man movie has the best Spider-Man costume.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I never
Yeah,
saw it.
it
I don't even know.
well, it looks like a Mark Bagley drawing come to life. It's really well done.
I do like Mark Bagley.
Yeah, I do too. I got his framed artwork here from one of his original pages on the wall.
First Amazing Spider-Man suit, not as great. And then they really
No.
comic booked it up with that second one.
Yeah, the second one, perfect.
All right, so I have a question. What do you, I don't, I never really, so I mean, Tobey Maguire's webs just come out of his wrists. There's no explanation for it. It just happens. Like, it just, he doesn't create web shooters. Web shooters,
Web
I should
shooting
say.
from web shooters?
Oh, they're web shooting from wrists. But,
Go back and listen to our audio comic or the classic.
So, I mean, I don't know, but I never really bought. And then there's parts where he can't cling to walls. And I guess we're supposed to believe it mentally. This is all like, it's all in his head,
Well,
right?
I looked this up today because I was like, did I miss something? And it is the equivalent of him needing hymns. It's
Yeah, that's what I
the
had heard as well. We
he's
should get them as a
stressed
sponsor.
out. He's used somebody else's podcast code for 10% off of hymns, and you'll be rock hard. You'll be able to
Not
jack off, and then you'll be a wolf man by night or something. But yeah, it's all like mental blocks, stress that he can't perform.
Perform.
And
Yes, I knew. Yes.
but also, I mean, the cum thing with the webs is done all over the
They
place,
already did it the first
but I
time.
mean, yeah, they did it. But that's the thing. That's why he can't attach himself to the walls or produce enough wrist cum to or whatever. He can't. He kind of loses his powers because he's stressed out. It wasn't like I almost thought it was maybe because he was affected by something Octavius did, but I don't think that's it.
No, because the Octavius thing is next. The big
Yeah.
demonstration is the next
Yeah.
scene. I guess it makes sense. I don't know. I never bought it. I didn't really, but whatever.
You like web
Anyway,
shooters?
well, no, it's not even that. I mean, if you're gonna do it, then you should be able to do it. I don't know. What do you need this, like, oh, he can't, and then all of a sudden he can.
Well,
I guess
the whole thing is that life is just because Spider-Man, being Spider-Man has just caused so many problems in his life, and now this is just a physical manifestation of it, that what's the point in even being Spider-Man is what it comes down to. And he's like, I'd like, even though I was miserable before, I was at least happier than I am now. And then once he realizes that being Spider-Man is his destiny, that's when all his powers come back and stuff, and he's like, this is who I am, and that's what
He's
this
walking on
little
sunshine.
And raindrops are falling on his head. All right, we'll get there. We'll get there. But because, yeah, the big demonstration, Otto, for like, what, the investors? I don't know. But Harry's there and a bunch of other scientists and stuff.
Seems
I guess
like
it's not
maybe you
investors.
should have done this as like a test run before you endangered a bunch of people this way, you know?
Yes. This is weird. So he has to put on the Dr. Octopus arms because otherwise he can't touch this fusion thing. And like they make a big point to mention this chip. In fact, he even like spins around and shows them and he explains everything about these arms, even though that's very little. The experiment is not the arms.
But they are pretty cool.
They are pretty cool.
They
So
are
of
cool.
course the thing overloads. He says it will stabilize, and then like everything's being sucked into this thing, and of course Spider-Man shows up because, but I do like it's the classic like where's Peter, and like
That coward. He's
yeah
always
they always
running away.
think he's a coward, and then so Spider-Man saves Harry's life, and he goes this doesn't change anything. I'm like what a fucking asshole this guy is. What are you friends with him for? He's terrible.
Will you guys allow me to knowledge drop a little on the arms, the tentacles.
Please, you must.
I one of the commentaries is with the technical team, and not everything was CG back then. So, but about half of the arms are CG, and then the other, they physically made the props for the octopus arms as well. They were all named. They were all named after the Three Stooges, and one was named Flo,
Flow.
operated by a. Yeah, the Flo was operated by a female puppeteer, and she was the motherly one. She's the one that like gives, that like takes off Otto's glasses and like sips him tea and stuff. But
Mother.
they were actually kind of. There's the very awesome Sam Raimi scene later on, but. But when you're watching the commentary, they were actually so impressed that they were like, that's CG, that's the puppets, that's CG. And then they were like, actually, I don't know. Like they felt like they even did such a good job, they couldn't distinguish like some of the movements there. But a lot of it was figuring out how these things are going to work. And Molina doesn't really like to do stunts, but he kind of had to do stunts for this. For this character, because he didn't want to do stunts, even though a lot of the other characters did, because McGuire and even Aunt May, but he doesn't want to take away work from like real stuntmen, so that
Oh,
like
well,
he's
that
kind of
makes
like,
sense.
yeah,
That's
he's
the
but
experience.
yeah, but a lot of it about the technical stuff, like this whole commentary was like talking about the challenges of the tentacles and that they wanted to have like real ones. And they had like security around them and they didn't want it to ever leak. And they also were expensive, so they didn't want the secret to get leaked that there was, Dr. Octopus in the movie and what they looked like and everything. So they had like security around them all the time and then they didn't want them to get stolen or broken or anything. So that's my knowledge drop.
That's cool.
And
It's cool to
also,
think of. Yes.
Alfred Molina, quote unquote, got into shape for this movie, and he described himself as more of a classic-looking sort of weightlifting type. You know, the type
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you
the swim
what.
trunks wrestler.
There's
That
that scene where, like, he goes after. Well, okay. So first, the chip overloads, and like, ah, and he's all like. So the arm, the chip that controls the arms or helps him control the arms, overloads, and Spider-Man pulls the plug on the thing. So, but also during the melee, his wife gets it in a very Sam Raimi way, where like there's a glass that comes like shooting at her, and it's like a POV shot kind of thing. It's very cool. I'll say that. But anyway, so yeah, they take Otto to the hospital. This is the most Sam Raimi scene you'll ever see. Like, they're going to cut the arms off, and the arms just go apeshit, and they kill, like, everybody in there, and it's very cool.
Yeah, like, even the little chainsaw thing that they do and stuff, yeah.
The guy has a chainsaw. It's awesome. Yep. It's probably I think it's my favorite scene in the whole movie. So
yeah, I can see that easily.
So then when, like, Otto, he's not even awake when all that's going on. He wakes up and he does the Darth Vader, like, no. But this dude has tits. I mean, like.
Yeah, I don't know what he was talking about when he said he got into shape, because.
Oof, put a shirt on, man. Yeah. Wow.
Well, Durson mentioned when Durson and I had like a little, our own little podcast earlier. And he mentioned that he was. Actually, I'm just in his defense. He was actually really big for a role before this, and then had to lose weight. I'm not saying he got into huge good shape. I'm not even saying he doesn't have tits. I'm just saying he was big and then he had to shrink.
I mean, I get Dr. Octopus in the comics.
He totally
kind of
looks like Dr.
guy.
Octopus in the comics.
If they gave him a bowl cut, it would have really made it.
Yeah, the haircut is.
When I read that, you know, like that Dan Slott run, like the Superior Spider-Man, like I really think of Molina's performance. Like, I think he's Dr. Octopus in my mind forever now. You know what I mean? Just kind
of. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, cut to J. Jonah Jameson. He's talking about a guy named Otto Octavius ends up with 8 limbs. Anyways, they basically hang a lantern on it, as they say in the business.
Yeah, and then they go through the thing. What should we call him? And then that reporter guy's like, Octopus.
Oh, that's
man.
Ted Raimi. That's Ted Raimi as Hoffman. Yep.
Ted Raimi. All right.
Ted Raimi. So, yeah, he's like, Doc Ock. And anyways.
Doctor Strange. Let's take it. I thought that was a funny line.
Yeah. I brought him pizza earlier. Anyways, so he hires Peter for a gig at the planetarium, a gig for his son, the returning astronaut.
The planetarium.
So, yes. So anyway, Peter's getting a little money coming in. He holds out for 300. That's pretty good. Good for him. This next scene might be my least favorite of the whole movie, where Doc Ock talks to his arms for like what feels like forever. It's probably only a few minutes.
That guys always do this in the Raimi movies, like, because.
Yeah.
Green Goblin was talking to his mask, and I was like, that's kind of goofy.
Yeah, and now he's wearing a shirt in this one, but it's
how'd he put it on with all those tentacles?
That's such a good point. Yeah,
Flo helped him put it on.
Flo did it. Some extra armholes in the back.
Yeah. So basically, he wants to finish the experiment, and he's going to steal a bunch of money to do it. That's all they needed to say.
The arms talking into it.
It went on forever. Oh, well. So the next scene, they're at a bank, and Joel McHale is helping them.
I was pleasantly surprised to see that was Joel McHale. Like, I didn't remember he was in this movie.
The talk soup
guy. He was just a guy.
Time.
Yeah. Right. At the time, right. Now he's been in a bunch of movies now, but at the time he was only on Talk Soup. So it's like, oh, that's weird. Anyway, Aunt May needs to get a loan. Joel McHale turns her down. I like it. She says, well, at least we get the toaster. And he's like, oh, only if you open a, you know, account with $300 or more. And she's like, oh, like, it's like even sadder. Like, you can't even get a toaster.
Yeah, it's so sad. It's so Parker look. It's so incredibly sad.
And anyway, then Otto attacks the bank. He's going to rob it. He goes to the vault and pulls out the door. And again, Peter runs off. And I love Joel McHale's like, that boy of yours is a real hero. It's kind of funny. So then he comes back as Spidey. Otto starts throwing bags of gold. I mean, like, is that really like it's like, it's like, was this an old Looney Tunes cartoon?
Yeah.
Bags of gold coins.
I feel like that was like Sam Raimi probably was like, that's gonna be funny. Let's have him throw.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is, and who cares? Like, 20 years later,
Raimi was like, definitely like the way into comics. You know what I mean? Like some certain things are really comic booky, like that, for instance.
Yeah.
So they're fighting. It's a cool fight, but Spider-Man's webs fail again. Yeah, you know, needed hymns. Needed a hymns.
Yeah, should have taken a hymns a little while before he went to the
bank. Yeah. Yep. And then Ock, of course, there's like 100 people there, and he grabs Aunt May and as a hostage. And he's going out.
I figure now, a big bodybuilder like him would have done.
I guess maybe, I mean, in the comics, he always had a thing for her. So maybe.
Yeah. Oh, listen to our audio comic, My Uncle, My Enemy. Where he marries
My Enemy.
That's right.
Ock's going to marry Aunt May.
So, yeah. He,
where'd
he,
you I learn mean, to drive? Bangor, Maine?
Let's talk about that instead.
So they have a big fight, and yeah, like Aunt May, he like you said, he carries her up this building, and like she's about to fall. She does fall a couple times, and Spider-Man saves her and whatever. And now, remind you, at this point, this is just a small little thing, but there's no bags of money in Doc Ock's arms. But later on, when he leaves, he's got like bags of money. So.
He stashed him off camera.
I guess so. Thanks for the there's your no prize.
Yeah, thank you.
May did all her own stunts for this scene. So.
Well, yeah, but it's not like they were like on a building. I mean, good for her.
She had to. They did do like a zip cord kind of thing. She had to like fly down a few stories.
There is my funny moment when he. Like she's like they're fighting or whatever, and then she hits Doc Ock in the head with the umbrella. That was Spider-Man punched this guy like 100 times in the face.
Well, that's like it was the 101st time that he got hit that he finally was like, okay, ouch.
I think
I would have loved it if she used the umbrella as a parachute or something. To slow
like
her
down. The Penguin in Batman 66.
Yeah, yeah, all of the above.
They could have even done a Dutch tilt there.
Oh, it would have been a nice homage.
There was also that great moment when
Peace de la Resistance.
Yes.
Go ahead.
There was that great moment when she says, shame on you. I thought that was pretty funny to him. Anyway, yeah, so he escapes with 2 bags of money. And I kind of like Spider-Man saves Aunt May, and he says, we sure showed him. And she says, what do you mean we? She's like, I'm the one who hit him.
Yeah, I hit him with my umbrella.
My super umbrella. I can even fly.
You sound very much like my nephew, your voice.
They should have done the Batman, like, we sure showed him. All right, so we have the big planetarium party. Harry is there and he's drunk. This guy I know it's rough. You know, I mean, I've lost a parent
as
well. We've all lost a parent
here. No one we knew had a friend of theirs that we thought killed our parents.
Right. I guess that's the big thing we should mention. He thinks that Spider-Man and Peter Parker are friends because Peter Parker gets all these pictures of him and whatever. So.
And then also he told Aunt May in the last movie that he was...
Right.
Jane that he was I can't remember. That was whatever. That was 100 episodes ago. I haven't watched that.
Speaking of being drunk, I think I was drunk for that one. So I don't remember. But anyways, so John Jameson comes in with Mary Jane, and Peter's all like, ooh, and he talks to her. He tries his poetry. She's like, what are you talking about?
You geek.
Yeah. She's like, you didn't... you know, you didn't come to the play and whatever. She's really mad about him not making the play.
Bruce Campbell wouldn't let me in.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it was a really annoying usher. You got to fire that guy. It's like, you were late. What is this? Then Harry comes out of nowhere and just slaps him in the face.
Yeah, I really think I would have stopped being friends with Harry at this point.
Right. Anyway, so they have a big thing in this. And John Jameson announces that he's going to marry MJ. This is actually an engagement party.
I'm going to marry Green Lantern.
Yeah, what? I want you to marry me. And she says she's going to marry him. Yeah, Peter's having a rough day. His powers gave out again. And now is also his eyes, he has to go back to wearing glasses because his eyesight, which improved when he got bit by the spider, is bad again. Poor guy. Poor Parker.
Yeah, they really pile it on.
Nice.
Well, the funny thing is, if he goes to the doctor doesn't say anything about, why don't you get, I guess Viagra wasn't, I guess, was Viagra a thing? I don't know.
Yeah, Viagra was a thing.
Yeah.
It's been a thing for a while.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I've been on it for 32 years now. At
this,
point.
This doctor is the biggest schmo. Like, he's wearing a t-shirt. I don't know. I wouldn't trust anything this guy says. He's wearing like a tie-dye. But anyway, yeah, so Peter Parker says, like, oh, my friend, you know, he has this dream about Spider-Man and all this stuff. The guy obviously knows exactly what he's talking about. So this is the first guy who figures out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. A million other people in this movie figure it out, so I don't, it's not a big deal, I guess.
Well, no, people figure it out because they take his mask off.
Yeah, like 100 times. We'll get there. But he basically tells Peter, you have a choice. You don't have to, or your friend doesn't have to be Spider-Man. And so then he has this chat with Uncle Ben. You know, Uncle Ben talks to him in the afterlife. And he's like, oh, you know, great power, blah, blah. And he says, no, I'm Spider-Man no more. Which, I mean, nobody talks like that, but it was in the comics, so they got
to
do
it.
Yeah,
so you got to figure out a way to drop that title from issue 50.
Yeah. And then, yeah, he throws it in the garbage, just like that issue.
Apparently, that scene that Durson sounds like he hates. apparently, that scene, though, it's an homage to the cover because they like shoot it just like that cover, Spider-Man No More. But also, that is supposed to be the same alley that Peter and Mary Jane kiss in.
Oh,
okay. The famous raining upside down kiss. Yeah. All right.
It's raining Spider-Man. Hallelujah.
So then, yeah, he's Spider-Man no more. We have this. I don't know if it's famous, but I remember when at the time I saw this with your sister, and she really liked this raindrops keep falling on your head scene because she loved the way he ate the hot dog. the cops go like careening by him with sirens on and everything. And he looks and takes a bite of his hot dog and he's all happy. He's doing good in class now. Everything is coming up Milhouse for Peter Parker.
Spidey sense tingling for a quick knowledge drop that Tobey Maguire, vegetarian, he's eating a vegan tofu dog there, tofu pup.
Thank you very much. Oh my goodness. Well, there you go. Good for Toby. No wonder why he had so many back problems. He'd get no protein.
Yeah, no protein.
Just kidding. But he even goes to the play, and he makes it now. So Mary Jane is like, oh. And then they hang afterward, and then she's mad at him again. She's like, you're too late. I'm marrying John. Yeah. I mean, what does he think he's... I mean, she's engaged. I mean, she should be off limits. I mean, you know, come on. Let's face it.
He's making his last ditch pitch to her before she runs off with less handsome John Jameson.
I actually... I mean, we'll get there with final thoughts, but I like the rom-com kind of romance-y elements and him trying to get her even though she's unattainable and stuff. I like all that stuff.
Well, I mean, I guess I don't really have a problem, but clearly she does want to be with Peter, right? I mean, I guess I shouldn't, you can't be mad. I mean, clearly she does want to be with him.
Yeah, that's why she makes less handsome John do the upside down kiss with her.
I know.
She's like, well, it's not the same.
I'm back on the moon. Yeah,
I know, that poor dope. I wonder he decided to become a werewolf. So I kind of like to see, we get another J. Jonah Jameson scene here when a garbage man brings the Spidey suit that he pulled out of the garbage and he says, I'll give you $100 and a bar of soap. Or he says, get him $100 and a bar of soap.
Yeah, because he's like, he first offers 50 and then he's like, I can get more of that by watching Durson sell it now and doing it on eBay.
Yeah, that's right.
And apparently, from it was a big problem in the first movie. Like, a couple of the suits were stolen, and they launched an investigation and tracked the people down. And they got them back, but they were like pissed that somebody stole those.
They could have got it for $100 in a bar of soap. Anyway, so yeah, and then the next, of course, the Spider-Man No More headline, just again, just like right out of the comics. They're really pushing that no more.
That's it. No more. They heard you down.
I guess there was a cut scene where J. Jonah Jameson is wearing
It's in that Spider-Man 2.5 or whatever that was that they released.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man 3 came out. Yeah, it's in that.
Oh, wow. I guess I will have to look that up. So anyways, like Peter is feeling some stuff and he tells Aunt May that it's his fault that Ben died, that he didn't go to the library or I don't know how, whatever, but she gets mad at him because he lied, I guess, and didn't go to the library. I don't know. Doc Ock is building his thing and Harry's all like, sorry. Ben,
that's why he's mad.
I know, but I mean, so he was supposed to drive him to the library, but instead he went somewhere else. And that's why Ben got shot. Like, I don't, you know, I mean, he would have got shot if he went to the library or not.
He explains the whole thing because if he had been picked up at the library, then everything that if he didn't have gone like butterfly effect gone in there and then the famous like, he didn't trip the robber as the guy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Out, he does. So this criminal's out on the street. So it is his fault, and he's admitting it to his beloved.
Right. Okay. He does. You're right. I forgot about that. He does mention the whole thing about
the big one.
He didn't stop the robber, and he could have. Okay. So sorry about that. Meanwhile, this is part of the movie. Harry is still. Well, I know, but I didn't, you know. So Harry's still kind of drunk and mad, and I love it. His butler or whatever is like, your father only obsessed about his work. And he says, good night, Bernard.
I like that he's kept him on, too.
Yeah, I like that. So anyway, Ock goes to see him because we didn't mention this earlier, but there's this thing called tritium that powers his fusion machine.
It's a real element, actually.
Okay. Apparently it's very rare. I guess they couldn't use vibranium or something, you know, because it was Sony. But yeah, precious tritium. So Harry's the only one. He's got a lot of it. But yeah, he's like, I need all of it. And they make a deal. If you bring me Spider-Man, I'll get your tritium. And he stooges off Peter. He's like, oh, Peter Parker sends, you know, takes his pictures. They're buddies. What kind of a dickhead is this guy?
A pretty big dickhead.
Yeah. Although as he's leaving, he's like, don't hurt Peter. Sure.
It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
I won't hurt him much.
He'll be fine, Dimitri. Don't worry, Dimitri.
Everything will be fine. So next, Peter Parker's, you know, walking down the street or whatever, and there's a burning building. And of course, we have the classic, my baby! Wasn't that the first thing you grab? Why is there always a baby in a burning building?
I don't know. They sneak back in when no one's looking.
I guess. Peter runs
Mary's
in.
Mary's toaster. That's
what we got one of those toasters at the bank and then fire.
Yeah. There's like fires all over the city. With people reaching out to have $300 to put in.
Yeah. So he tries to break down the door and I guess also he's also not strong anymore because he needs his hymns. Even though he's not Spider-Man. So you'd think he'd be less stressed. He should get his powers back, right?
Well, you run into a burning building. That would make me a little stressed.
Oh, okay. I'll give you that. Anyway, he saves a kid. Now, so at one point, the kid, he falls, like, through the floor, and the kid, like, helps him up. But when he brings the kid outside to the parents, the kid is, like, an infant. What the hell happened? Like, I mean, the kid shrunk.
There were two kids in there, and one kid died after help.
I don't know. Like baby, yeah, it shriveled up or something in the
it was
heat.
A mutant. I guess it was a mutant with a lot of strength.
Yeah, the stinking mutant.
The firefighters do kind of like Parker look, break his heart a little bit. It's like, yeah, good job. You got some guts, kid. It was still another guy up there. He died.
Yeah.
But you did good.
Did good, except I mean, he could have done better.
I guess, would Spider-Man have known that he was up? I guess, would his spider sense have told him that there was someone else on the fourth floor or whatever? I don't know.
It seems like a James Franco kind of line. I should have said that. Good job, Parker. Except you let some old guy die on the fourth floor.
Somebody else died on the fourth floor. So then we have this weird scene. This woman, this blonde woman, who was the daughter of the landlord, who I think at the time people were like, oh, is that Gwen Stacy? Is it because she's blonde? And she gives him a piece of cake. And they just kind of chat. At first, she says, would you like a piece of chocolate cake? Yeah, easy as cake. She said chocolate, but that looks like vanilla, but that's all right. Who cares?
She's Russian. She might just be screwing up her English.
Right? Yeah, I think maybe it's kind of like a confidence builder thing for Peter, where he's thinking, well, maybe I could just hook up with this chick.
Yeah, maybe I could hook up with this awkward, gangly.
She barely speaks Russian. English. Yeah. We have a lot in common.
Yeah, I'm already awkward and gangly too.
Shitty tenement. Maybe I won't have to pay rent at all.
If I start banging the landlord's daughter. I mean, maybe he was feeling something down there, and you know, maybe I don't need the hymns.
And the hymns, I don't need them. I got natural hymns.
But I guess the point of the whole thing is she gives him a message. She says, oh, your aunt called here, and she just leaves. She doesn't even say goodbye or whatever. But the message was that Aunt May is selling a house. She found an apartment in the city, which I imagine that would be more expensive than that old house in Queens. Whatever.
Maybe it's an assisted living for elderly people.
Oh, maybe.
I guess she bequeaths it to Marissa Tourmé's Aunt May, because that's where they're living.
That's right. They live in an apartment. But she ends up saying, like, she's proud of him. It's like, you know, because Spider-Man saved her life that day. She's like, you know, she likes Spider-Man again and whatever.
She's pro-Spidey in the movie, anti-Spidey in the comics.
Yeah. And she's all like, there's a hero in all of us. And there's like a little kid helping her pack up. And he's like, oh, I like Spider-Man. Tell him to come back.
Before that. He was an infant just a second before.
Yeah, right. He's like, you got tall. There is like a funny line too, where she's like, what happened to all my comics? She's like, oh, I gave away those horrible things. Jeez, I could have made some money.
Should have sold those first.
Yeah, right. Anyways,
I think she gives him a little. She says that she's proud of him just for telling the truth.
You know, yes.
Like she's the moral. It took some real courage.
Yes,
it sucks that you killed my beloved husband and your uncle, but you have the courage to tell the truth.
At least you admitted it.
Unlike Harry,
he was kind of an unemployed dirtbag, always trying to fix the light bulb. It's like, get out of the house.
Oh, yes. So anyways, after the pep talk, Peter's like, yeah, and he tries jumping, you know, over some buildings or whatever, and then he misses it and he falls, and then he hits his back, which was I thought was like an inside joke on Tobey Maguire injuring his back, right? Like,
yeah,
I think so, because he's like, ow, my back.
Yeah,
I thought the back thing was
the alarm. I guess it was right there. Maybe you're right. Whatever.
Who cares? No one's listening.
So yeah, then we have the kissing thing on the couch. It's kind of, I mean, I get it. I get why they did it, because it was a nice callback. Everyone remembers that upside down kissing thing.
Yeah, and then they do it in the third one too. So that's the thing.
So whatever. And then
we'll get
so
there.
She meets episode 600. So she meets with Peter. MJ and Peter meet for like coffee or whatever, and she's got a nice hat.
This was the original teaser trailer for the movie. Was this?
Scene. Yeah. Yeah. So she's not really sure about marrying him, and she says, kiss me. So I guess she kind of thinks, maybe. Does she suspect that Peter might be Spider-Man?
I believe so, because she seemed to feel that way at the end of the first movie. She had a suspicion.
Right.
Jackpot sense.
Then we tingling. Yeah. Then we get the spider sense. I think this is the only time in the movie where they get that Sam Raimi spider sense, or Peter Tingle, as they call it in the new
version.
And then a car comes flying through the window, and he jumps and he grabs her, and her dress kind of flies up a little bit. And it's a little great, but whatever. Doc Ock is there, and he wants to take Peter Parker, obviously, or because Spider-Man is his friend or whatever. But when they kind of just stand there, like MJ and Peter are kind of just standing there. When Ankh comes in, he grabs MJ, and now he's ready. Peter realizes, oh, I can't see with my glasses. He takes off his glasses and he can see, and he can be Spider-Man now. It's like his hymns. MJ being in danger was his hymns.
Yeah.
And he goes to J. Jonah Jameson's office and gets the spider suit somehow. I don't know, whatever.
Well, he probably uses his press pass to get in there and just to...
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he went through the ceiling or something, but...
It doesn't matter.
It's
Spider-Man. He can do whatever. Like, that's a between the panels thing, too, because Jonah Jameson's looking at it, turns his head, and then it's gone with a big web and a note that says... Your friendly Eat neighborhood me. Spider-Man on it.
Basically. Yeah, when did he have time to write that note? What was he wearing?
He wrote it ahead of time. He was on his way over and wrote it.
And then there's a newspaper that says Spider-Man's back. That thing came out pretty fast.
That was a special edition.
Because, how long was MJ a prisoner?
I always liked that, too, actually, when I was thinking about that, because... I don't know, there's like Robbie Robertson comes in and he's like 5 minutes to deadline. We need a headline. It sounds like
the beginning of the Muppet Show where they'd be like, Roger Moore, 5 minutes to stage time, Roger Moore.
And I understand deadline isn't print time, but still it's like they have to typeset and
they never had a
do
front
all that
page
stuff they need
ever.
To do, you know?
The time,
you know, like the photo and everything.
This movie came out. I was working at a magazine, so that we had these same kind of deadline kind of things, and we weren't able to put a newspaper out that afternoon with it said Spider-Man's back.
Yeah, and they're like, John, can you explain to us why you put on this? This truck trade magazine, Spider-Man's back.
can I
well, we're up against the deadline.
Well, I feel that there was they miscast Robbie. It should have been the guy who played Benson. He was just perfect. You know, everyone was like, you should be Joe Robertson.
It's true. I mean, he had the gray hair.
Yeah.
He would have been perfect.
Version of him. Yeah, he would have been perfect.
Yeah, not that. This guy's three lines. Fine. It's not a big deal. Yeah, he's also another. He was probably eating with Alfred Molina.
Yeah. He's like, I got myself in shape too.
And by the way, I'm actually pretty proud of myself because I remembered Robbie Robertson's name when I was thinking of the movie character. But I was totally going to be like, then the guy comes in. That's obviously Robbie Robertson.
The guy. All right, so earlier Doc Ock said meet me here or whatever, Spider-Man, or he said tell Spider-Man to meet me here wherever it is, and Spidey and Doc meet, and this must be your favorite part, Clay. They have a big train fight,
and this might have sparked my interest.
Really? Oh, very well.
This is a good one.
It's a good one. They ride through the city, whatever. Ankh.
It's no Taking of the Pelham 1-2-3, but I think I saw that movie after I saw Spider-Man 2. So.
Doc Ock sends his arms in to pull the brake or whatever, wreck the controls so the train won't stop, and it's running out of control. And I know it's early, it's 2004, CGI wasn't back then what it is now, but some of this doesn't look great to me, but that's all right.
Gotta say, probably if they did it now, it still wouldn't look great because Marvel is kicking out so many stuff and overworking its VFX artists.
Yes,
I do have critique noted. I do have to say that I have a little knowledge drop about the train fight scene here with the train. Toby did his own stunts for this, but also that there was no above ground. Trains in New York, they had taken them all down, or the ones that were available, the buildings weren't close enough together. So what they did was they shot with the Spidey cam and Dykstra and everything. They shot the plates for that in Chicago. Famously, listen to our Blues Brothers episode.
I want to hear the sound of the elevator.
The buildings were a little closer to the train tracks in Chicago, so that's where they did the location shooting for that. Thank you very much.
That's very interesting. Very well. I did not know that.
Spider-Man 2.5, the scene is a little bit longer, too.
A little bit longer?
Yep.
Oh, my God. The scene goes on for a while. I'm not going to say anything bad about it.
This is the scene.
You can say things bad about it.
No, well, my only problem with it, is this is Spider-Man takes off his mask. And I don't know where it goes, but...
Does he take it off or does it get pulled off? I can't even remember.
He takes it off. Because, like, the eyes got a little fucked up. So, I guess to see better, he takes the thing off. It's fine.
I think that my critique of the scene is also, it's different but similar to yours. Like, I hated it when they did it in Man of Steel 2 when Superman, like, falls to Earth and, like, Jesus. And they're, like, in this season.
Man of Steel 2, there was only one.
Yeah. In this too, like they kind of carry him like Jesus and like
the crowd surfing. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the
REM drive video.
Is that's what they were referencing?
It's a reference to that.
Yeah, so Spider-Man, I guess this was a comic book thing too, where he uses webs and he pulls and the train stops right at the end of the thing and whatever.
Yeah, and then in the Tom Holland movie where with the boat or something instead.
Right, he does it with the boat. But it's funny because like the train is like hanging and they still kind of just all are standing there being like, oh, look at Spider-Man, he's just a kid. Like, wouldn't you be like, get me the fuck off this thing
now? No, it'd be like... Hey, everybody, like, let's run so our body weight could be, like, further away from the tip of this thing.
In
like,
the back, the right.
Then you
but
can...
I was just going to say, like, seeing it for the first time, I was totally blown away. I just remember that. Yeah, sure, I have and you have. Everybody would pick it apart now, 20 years later. But I just remember being excited.
I remember like, Durson hating it.
I thought it was so overly dramatic, well, you know, and I don't know why. I always have this thing about like they make such a big deal about no one can know I'm Spider-Man and they're always taking off the mask.
Yeah, because they pay these actors a lot of money so they go see their face. But also this movie was now 900 people whip out their smartphones and snap pictures of Spider-Man. So,
well, one guy even says to him, oh, we won't tell anybody. It's like, well, thanks. Like, what if, I don't, how do I know you're not just get drunk and be like, dude, I saw that Spider-Man's face.
No, well, no one would believe him. Be like, gosh, I don't know, drunk.
To your point, though, John, I guess if everybody had taken pictures of Spider-Man, I know somebody that's in the market for some.
Yeah, your magazine.
Yeah, right. My magazine. I can't get my truck driver magazine, whatever.
Yeah, truck driver trade magazine.
Yeah, truck driving trade magazine. We need give me pictures of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. But yeah, and then these two little kids are like, "Oh, here's your mask." It's like, where did you get that? Didn't he just whip it off and throw it away?
I think it.
Oh, whatever.
It's like Tobey Maguire's half brothers or something like that.
Oh, is that? Oh, that's nice. That.
I think so.
Anyway, so then Doc Ock comes back. And they're like, if you want him, you got to go through us. The crowd is all on his side now. And he goes, very well. And he beats
he does it very well. I'm glad that you saw that. I watch everything with closed captions. And I know that hope there's
sincere. And then he just takes Spidey, brings him to Harry. And I love that he has this tritium and it's just in his living room safe. He's just going to touch this. Shouldn't that be in a laboratory or something?
some like... protective shield thing.
Yeah, isn't this some kind of whatever? So I love Harry's got like he's got his maker's mark there, and he's got a big knife next to it. And then he unmasks Spider-Man and sees it's Peter Parker, and he's like, "Oh no!" And then Peter just like wakes up and breaks the bonds pretty easily. Like, I guess he wakes up. Was he not awake? I don't know, but it doesn't matter. And he's like, where is he? Where is he? He has MJ. And he's like, oh, he's in his lab or whatever. So if we go back to where it all began, Doc Ock's lab, he's got the tritium. It looks like a little rubber ball. This little tritium thing.
The secret show base up. Always reminds me of Tommy Lee Jones' hideout and Blown Away.
Yeah, it's out there on the water.
Yeah.
All right. I guess it's a good thing.
Drop. They. Yep. It took them 2 weeks to construct this set so that it had collapsible walls.
All right.
Why would Doc Ock want to make a hideout with collapsible walls?
Yeah, he's going to turn this thing in and on, and everything's going to get sucked into it.
To another city.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe that's it. He's going to go on tour. This is Tritium. So anyways, yeah, they're fighting, and like I never liked this when they do it in like, they do it in comics and cartoons or whatever, where he tries to hit Spider-Man, and Spider-Man dodges, and it like, he gets electrocuted, and he goes like, blah, 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 you know, I never really liked that. It's like the bad guy is defeated now. The thing is like going crazy. MJ is there. She's getting like pulled into it. This car's like blocks away that are moving towards the lab. But Spider-Man and Doc Ock are kind of just standing there talking. And he's like, how does this stop? Yes, the power of the sun. The
sun in my hands.
But he's like, how do I stop it? He tries pulling the plug again. It doesn't work. He's like, oh, it's too late. But meanwhile, yeah, cars are moving out on the street, and they're just kind of sitting there hanging out. And then he unmasks again for the third time in this fucking movie. Like, that's too much. It's overkill. Ock says, okay. Doc Ock says, I know how to stop it.
Because he's returned to his senses now, right?
Yes, that's right.
Because he's like, Parker, brilliant but lazy.
Yeah, and he realizes he needs to stop it. So
yeah, because he's quoting them some poetry to bring up. No,
right. Meanwhile, MJ sees Peter, and he is, you know, she sees that he is Spider-Man, and why not? Everyone else has seen it. So she might as well, too.
He won't tell anyone.
Yeah, he saves her from the crashing metal wall. Doc Ock goes down and uses the arms to break the thing and drops the fusion into the river.
And then there's a weird CGI Doc Ock.
Yeah, it's not good when he like falls into the water with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing, really.
You're not going to do anything now, 20 years later.
They already made 2.1 and 2.5, so
yeah,
too late.
And I actually could bring worked back on Tom Holland a Doc Ock comic way back when. I did some coloring on Doc Ock.
Oh, excellent.
Uncredited, but I did.
Oh.
Hey, you got paid.
Next time you get so no color. Make sure that his fat covering frock is green.
Candy.
So now Peter and MJ are hanging out on a web, and he tells her, now you know why we can't be together. And she's like, no, but I have too many enemies.
No, they're all going to laugh at you.
They're all going to laugh at you. So that he like lowers her down with his web, and John, the less handsome John, comes running up, and she's like not happy to see him. And she can't even pretend. She's just like,
she's like, what have you done lately? You've only been to the moon.
Yeah, you didn't save me from Doc Ock.
I'm not impressed.
And how many people have been to the moon? Like 30?
Yeah, there's only one Spider-Man, though. Or two, I guess. Well, now there's a whole bunch of Spider-Mans, but back then...
Yeah, back then it was only one.
So, and Nicholas Hammond.
Ben Reilly. But still, that's less than how many people were on the moon. Back to the
story. So meanwhile, we get our Willem Dafoe cameo here. Harry hears him laughing. They're setting up the next Batman movie. I said Batman because he kind of goes into the Batcave. It's kind of like a Batcave in his house where all the Doc Ock stuff, and he finds the Green Goblin formula and the glider and everything. So basically,
Green Goblin stuff, not all the Doc.
And
I'm sorry, Green Goblin. Yes, thank you.
Knowledge drop. The only reason that cameo is there is because Willem Dafoe was visiting his friend Al on set, and they said, "Hey, let's work in a cameo. What do you say?" He's like,
"Al, good old Al." Man. Oh, I thought it was just some guy.
All right, Alfred. Wait a minute.
I like that he's visiting Al, not anybody else that he had made friends with in the
previous. Yeah, no, just
that Raimi's an asshole. I don't want to visit him.
He walks by Raimi. He's like, yeah, no, I'll be with you in a minute, Sam. I'm here to see.
I'm here to see Cepedo.
Cepedo. Oh, man, I really love that scene in Boogie Nights. You know, the one where he's throwing the firecrackers around. Anyways, we have the big wedding. MJ's there. She's not happy. And she doesn't show up. They're playing the music.
This is the part in the movie that I was like, Sam could use an editor that might go like, you know what, Sam, I think that's a bad idea. When they cut to that shot of her running through Central Park in her wedding dress. Yeah,
right.
Oof. God, that almost ruined
the birds. Why, he could have just done like a Mrs. Robinson kind of thing and made it like quick.
I know. She runs in slow motion even. It's pretty goofy. And the only funny part about it is when J. Jonah Jameson says, tell him not to open the caviar.
Yeah.
We cut to Peter Parker. I mean, he lives in the city. He shouldn't just leave his door open like that, you know?
Yeah.
I guess he's Spider-Man. If someone tried to rob him, he could just beat him up.
If someone tried to rob him, they wouldn't get much either.
Yeah. And then so she's like, I'm standing in your doorway. And then they finally kiss. She knows he's Spider-Man. She doesn't care. They can make it work. It's all good.
Go get him, Tiger.
Yeah, he hears sirens, and he goes out swinging to help save the day. And yeah, she says, go get him, Tiger. And then we get the shitty dashboard confessional song and scene. Spider-Man 2.
That's it. No more.
The last Spider-Man movie that anyone wants to admit that... No, I'm just kidding. I guess we figured there would be a three, but, you know, here we are. 20 years later, and there's six or seven? No, sorry.
19. It's,
there sorry, were, eight. Three. I'm not counting the animated... Right, not counting Miles Morales there. Two of those.
Yeah, three and two. So there you go.
That brings it 10.
Yeah.
To be... 11.
There's a lot of Spider-Man now. So
I guess
right,
I wouldn't count
that.
I wouldn't count that, though, right? I mean, even though it's great.
The Spider-Verse movie? Yeah. I mean, whatever. Sure.
But as far as Sony's Spider-Man concerned.
How about that?
Live action. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Sony made those animated ones, too. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sony's been making the money off of this.
Yeah.
Restore Madam Web episode. In our forthcoming Kraven the Hunter.
I thought the trailer looked pretty cool, actually, for Kraven. I don't like that. I don't ever really cared about Kraven. But
I mean, I'll fucking watch anything when we give a shit.
Yeah.
That is true. You will watch anything.
I do admire that. I admire that about you. All right. What do we think of Spider-Man 2?
Taste. I was teasing. I was ragging on Clay.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, what did you say? I missed too.
Nothing. No, you can go back and listen to this episode.
I'll have to. And I'll be like, I'm cutting that out. Or so I'm boosting your levels.
Yeah, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Do you guys want me to go final first? Because I have the least.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
I have the least good things.
Yeah, your least good things. But I mean, if you don't want to go first,
I'll go. I'll do it. Yeah, I didn't really love this movie in 2004, and I thought, well, I'm sure it's fine. I bet my tastes have changed. I've matured. I'll be able to. I bet I will enjoy this. And it turns out, no, I didn't really like it that much. It's 2 hours and 7 minutes, and I feel like it's about an hour and a half worth of actual story that they dragged out. You know, everything is kind of overly dramatic. Like it's like an old Marvel comic where they just drill everything into your head. And I know I shouldn't take it so seriously. You're right, Sam Raimi. He's making a comic book movie. He's just having fun. But I don't know. There's too many just weird things in there for me. I can't get into it. And I don't even know. Like, it might be a I could give it a generous C, but it's probably more like a D range.
Wow.
Not a fan. I was watching it and I was like, oh, I can't believe this movie's still going. Like, you know, one of those deals. So I don't know. I know everybody loves this one.
I was fidgeting and sighing.
I was. I kind of was. Sitting in front of my computer. I can't even, I can pause it and go around and do other stuff. I don't have to like do anything. It's not like I'm sitting in a theater, but I still was fidgeting and sighing. So I don't know. And I know I'm in the minority, right? But
yeah,
I just wasn't feeling this one.
Yeah.
That's okay. No one's going to judge.
Okay.
I gave Batman and Rob. Wait, was the Batman and Robin the George Clooney one? I gave that one like a C. That really deserves an F, but I don't know. I was feeling generous that day, you know?
Well, I think we kind of talk about, like, if you enjoy the experience, you know, or whatever. There's nothing that Sam Raimi did a great job. The actors are good, except for Kirsten Dunst. Like I said, she just doesn't do it for me, but oh my God, I am completely wrong. This is on Rotten Tomatoes, 93% critics, 82% audience. Mm-hmm.
Roger Ebert said it was the best superhero movie he'd seen up to that point. And he said it would have been a great movie even if there were no superhero stuff in it.
Oh, well, I guess.
I love when critics say stuff like that because it's like, it can't be not a
superhero. Right. Like, no, what would you watch? The love story between Peter Parker and Mary Jane? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
I like.
I guess. There you go.
D. Sorry, Sam. I will always be a fan, but this one I just couldn't
but
get into.
I feel Clay should go next since he'll give it an A++++++.
I will go next, and I hasten to critique your review because I'm not doing that. But what I thought that I didn't know your previous thoughts on the movie. I had no idea. Maybe you mentioned it. But because I know
I wanted to make sure you didn't know. I thought you would feel bad or something.
Despite the fact that Durson's the one that
picked that. Yeah.
I did suggest this. Yes.
But I know that you like romantic movies and do like you talk about like, you know, rom-coms and, you know, kind of like meet cute kind of things. So my first instinct was that, oh, maybe Durson likes this. So I was just surprised to hear your reaction to the Mary Jane kind of stuff.
Mary Jane Watson.
Yeah. But that's why I'm just saying like, oh, I'm surprised to hear that because when I'm watching it this time, my reaction to watching the movie in the theater, getting the DVD, like watching the extras and stuff,
thinking about it
to the counter, like, putting it in the DVD player.
Yeah, but yeah, probably not as big of a Sam Raimi fan as you two are, but you know, I'm still a fan. I didn't know that was Ted Raimi, but you know, so sue me. But please
well, you did say you were a Ted Raimi fan, so okay.
Yeah, right. Don't actually sue me. But yeah, the Bruce Campbell scene. The train scene, a great follow-up sequel movie. I personally liked the romance stuff with Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson. You know, I don't
every time someone says Mary Jane Watson, I think of you in the audio comic saying that. Mary Jane Watson is just a
Watson. Mary Jane Watson. And right, she's not the Mary Jane from the comics, but I do feel like Raimi's take on Spider-Man, like I said before, is very like Ditko Lee, the 70s throwback stuff. And also like what I like about this movie is the general look of the, like, even though there's like CGI and CGI has come a long way, but like the film look of it, like in Harry's apartment or like wherever that, even when they're outside, you know, he's talking to Kurt Connors, like it looks like an old movie. Even though it was only 20 years ago, it looks like it's kind of movie.
I was watching it too. I noticed that.
Yeah,
today.
It's filmic, I guess. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like so, and it kind of gives it a timeless feel that it could be in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s or the 2000s. Like you kind of don't know. So, there's not a lot of tech besides superhero technology, and there's not a lot of, like, you know, cell phones or stuff like that in it. So and I also like the Sam Raimi of it all, like the horror scene in the hospital, the glass going into Doc Ock's wife's eye and stuff like that.
Oh no, I absolutely love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I'm not saying you don't like that stuff, but that's why I like it. And that's why I will give this movie, when I give Godzilla an A+, I feel like I have to give this an A+, but I give it a flat A. I really love this movie. And I really love, because it's almost like the excitement of the prequels, like when you're like leading up to the prequels, and however we feel about the prequels is fine too. But like, you know, there was nothing like these movies. We had X-Men and Spider-Man. I was just so excited, and still am excited, and like think this is infinitely rewatchable. So flat A for me. Love this movie. I like the romance stuff, and I like the technology and the costumes and the acting, and feel like it's very comic booky. And I'll leave it at that. Okay, bye.
Well, I'm afraid I'm forced to agree with Admiral Cartwright here. I've never trusted her, but I never will. I'm going to give it an A-.
Wow. Very well.
I can't remember what I gave the 2002 Spider-Man, but I think I like this one.
It was as high as that.
I think I like this one a little bit better, mainly because there isn't a scene of Peter Parker talking to Mary Jane where he's like, I was talking to Spider-Man, and he said, you're pretty cool, and stuff like that, or whatever. You know, like, that stuff, like, those things, there was more of that, I feel, in the first movie, and little less of it in this one. There's only one scene of Dr. Octopus talking to his tentacles, I think, whereas Green Goblin was carrying on entire conversations for hours with his masks and stuff. So, I just
enjoyed there's a lot of that in the first.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, it didn't bother me as much in the first one.
I actually remember when I walked out of the first movie, I was like, no, how much I like that. And then you sent me an email raving about how it was the greatest comic book movie you'd ever seen, and that I was sort of like, you know what, I'll give this a second chance. And I went and saw it again that weekend. But this second movie, I liked it pretty good, even though it has less handsome John Jameson. And I don't know, you guys covered everything else. That's why I usually just go,
right.
Oh, yeah, here's
my opinion. Yeah, sure.
You know, there are a couple things in there that I'm like, oof, that Kristen Dunst running through the park and things, and I don't like raindrops keep falling on my head. I don't like.
I mean,
I get what we're going for, and it's humorous, but that's what I'm saying. Sometimes Sam Raimi just needs an editor to go like, "Look, can we knock off the goofy for like a second and just kind of play something straight here and there?" And that's usually my problems with him, is he tends to take it too far into comedic at times. But there you go, A-. And I think it's going to be the last superhero film I watch for a while, because I just don't like superhero movies anymore. And I wish they were more like this. They were like, had a little heart to them, instead of like, we're building a cinematic universe. And I think that's one of these older superhero flicks, when they were just getting started, because they were events and you were like, wow, this is cool. And then everything became, we did the Avengers. Now everybody has to do the Avengers.
Yeah, I agree. This is not part of a whole cinematic universe thing. They were better. There was more of like a, I don't know. It was also like the fact that they were popular was like, comic book things, comic book characters are popular.
Extreme. Yeah, it's like,
because
in 2002, who knew who Tony Stark was? In 2008 or whatever, everybody knew who he was. And that's just the power that these early movies had, you know? No one knew with great power comes great responsibility, except us nerds. And then everybody was, and then you heard it quoted everywhere since then. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's everywhere. It really did
bring it to the mainstream, and that was awesome. And then we were finally sort of like validated for the love we had for these characters and stories for years before anyone.
Now we are all in the
exactly validated. That's a good way to put it. And like, I don't want to shit on the whole, I don't mean to shit on the whole thing, but I think when you're saying about like Sam Raimi, Like I would just, with Sam Raimi kind of being like, yeah, sometimes it's goofy and he goes a little too far into that. Yeah, I think it's like a weird thing. Like at some parts of this movie, it's completely overly dramatic, and then some parts it's like, no, we're just having a yuck. You know, it's like make up your mind. What kind of movie are you trying to make here? You know, I don't know.
This the tone can vary wildly.
Yeah,
I don't
I
think
guess.
that I loved his Doctor Strange movie. Like, I think that I liked it
I think at this
fine.
point he was more of a cog in the machine with that kind of thing,
Yeah, exactly.
whereas
But I
this here
do,
was shaping it more.
yeah, I do have to say, I do one thing that's a stark contrast between this and the next movie. I do really like not just Alfred Molina's performance, which I think is awesome, but like picking the one villain was the way to go. And they picked a cool one
Yeah,
because they could have picked
absolutely.
the Vulture, they could have picked, you know, they could have picked
Well,
any of
Black
this,
Cat was
you
originally supposed to be in this movie.
Yeah,
Oh,
it
wow.
was great because they it did allow them to, you know, flex their muscles as far as like figuring out the octopus arms and stuff. And Doc Ock is really, you know, you think of Spider-Man, spiders have eight legs and he's got eight arms, you know, like it makes a lot of sense. And it was really good contrasted with the first movie and then the movie we won't speak about, you know, like it was just a great, that's why I think that, yeah, I think I don't know what I graded the other one either, but I think I favor this one over the first one, just a little bit more. Like, you know, I think
You
it's
know, what's funny is I happened to watch a little bit of it was on TV, the Quick and the Dead, and I was like, it's not a great movie, but there's like a lot of real Sam Raiminess going on in there. Like when he shoots a guy like through the head, and you can see like it's a hole, like they shoot the shot through the hole in that guy's head and whatever. I mean, you're right. Like, yeah, I think he was kind of making the Marvel movie. You know, by the time that they got to Doctor Strange. But yeah, like there was something about when he was still making like mainstream movies or struggling, not struggling, but like he hadn't made a lot of
But
mainstream
yeah,
movies.
he hadn't broken through in a big way.
Right. And I
In
was
a
like, wow.
way, Sam Raimi being chosen for this movie was like Keaton being chosen as Batman. It's like everybody's like, what? And then you kind of find out like, oh, actually, it's a perfect fit. Because when I
Oh,
see what he
I,
do, I mean, you could
yeah.
be like given that opportunity and fuck it up, but I don't think that he did for these first two movies, let's say. You know what I mean? Like, I think it
I definitely
definitely people's
didn't.
reaction kind of, you know, like, what? The Army of Darkness guy? Okay.
Right. But I mean, the fact that they made like all that money, it means he, you know, that's what they kept giving him more movies because he made the money. That's not fucking it up as far as studios are concerned, I think. But also, yeah, he did a good job and people liked it, and that's what matters. But yeah, you could see like the younger Sam Raimi, like, let's try this, let's try that. Like, oh, how about this? How about that? And you know, by the not that it's not, I actually like the Multiverse of Madness, but yeah, I could see he's toned it down maybe a little bit. So
And then even on this movie, like, and with Green Goblin, like Green Goblin had actually like a kind of a scary mask. So, you know, in Raimi's mind, he had to kind of like make it a little kid friendly. He's like, no, we're gonna go with the kind of like, you know, I don't know what you even call it, like a metallic like Green Goblin design that they actually did, because they had kind of a more comic book looking one initially that was really hard to put on.
Yeah, that one
But
looked kind of too.
it did look cool, but he was like kind of like, you know, kids are gonna watch this. So I mean, there's kind of like, given his druthers, he would probably have made the like a full-on body horror like Cronenberg thing with Doc Ock if it was like
Right.
just his movie. But you know, he kind of tones things down a little bit, and you know, it's like learning to adapt to the big studio stuff. But you know, like Bruce Campbell said, he was like, this is a perfect choice for this because the guy made Evil Dead on $300,000 or whatever. And then like, here, you have all of the money, go make your movie. Obviously,
Right,
Bruce
right.
Campbell, you
No,
know,
he was the
was
right choice, and I was super excited. But yeah, I also think like maybe with less, sometimes less is more. Like when you have less money and you have to make make it work. Sometimes you get a little more creative, you know. Eh, whatever. It's fine. We all agree. You guys agree, and I agree to disagree. but I'm not
the story of Leak Podcast versus.
Right.
I'm glad you gave it a bad review in a way. Like,
I'm glad we watched
it. I was surprised. I'm glad you kept your dirty little secret away from me. Good for you.
I didn't want you to think like, oh man, Durson's gonna just rag on this. And I didn't think I would, but as I'm watching, I'm like, ooh. Anyways, that's episode 500.
That's the story of episode 500.
We did. Wow.
We've been doing this a long time.
Half my life. Oh,
a lot of ups and downs over these 15 years or so, or whatever. Print the legend, we'll call it 15 years. And yeah. Thanks.
We've had
thanks to you.
Had leg cramps that made me fall out of my chair. I mean, we've had a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we've had a lot of crazy stuff. So if you are listening, which you're not, thanks for listening. Definitely. If you've listened to more than one, I don't know if we have too many people who have listened to all of them since the beginning, but if you have, thanks to you, as we say.
Thanks to you to the new Tom and Tim, the recast.
Yes.
Younger, more attractive. They were born.
Bob and Bill instead.
Bob and Bill. They were born when our podcast started.
Yeah, right.
I'm really getting into it now.
It is kind of crazy to think about. There were podcasts around when we started, because otherwise we wouldn't have done it. But I mean, now literally there's millions of them.
Yep. And that's why nobody listened to us then. And now there's just so many more options that listen.
They're never going to find us now. So
yeah, thanks for listening, which you're not. Our other tagline besides, we'll get there.
Yeah, maybe we'll get there to more listeners, but thanks to you guys
for another 500 episodes.
Yeah, we'll see you at episode 1,000, when maybe we'll finally do Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, and that'll be our final episode.
Yeah.
Probably because we're so old by then anyway.
Yeah, I won't even care. I'm gonna watch whatever you want. But indeed. Thanks to you guys too. Not only thanks for listeners, you. Thanks to you guys for sticking with it and not being like, oh, I don't want a podcast anymore. No one listens.
I say that like every single time we're about to do a show, but
oh well. Here we go. Well then thanks especially to you.
As I was the one that suggested this in the first place, I think, right?
Yeah, it's all your fault.
Yeah, sorry guys.
You were listening to iFanboy.
I will give a little kudos. The last 100 episodes wouldn't have been the same without John's suggestion that we switch it up a little bit.
This is true because
I've
been working in the comics biz for, I'm almost as old as Spider-Man 2. For as long as Spider-Man 2 has been out. I started in late 2004 working in comics, and after a while, you kind of don't feel like talking about comics after you've been working on them all day, which is why I suggested let's change the format.
Yeah, and you don't want
to. That's why I don't want to come on here and talk about being an usher or a wrestling announcer or anything like that.
Right.
I'm here with my friend.
Well, if nobody listens, which they don't, at least we get to hang out for a little while.
Well, yeah, that's the reason I keep doing it.
Yep.
And bonafides to the Commander Durson for keeping it all tight.
Yeah,
he's warm right from the beginning.
Hurting cats. Gotta say thanks. 15 years.
Is that a flat A or an ironica or what do we?
I'm going to give you an A+.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you.
It's not ironic at all.
And thank you, Clay. You do a lot more work now, especially these days, putting it on YouTube and putting it, you know, up there, editing
at least
it.
Like 37 people listen to us. So,
well, YouTube gets a lot of hits. So, thanks.
Thanks to our sometimes co-host, Josh, for just being there.
Josh was here at the beginning, and definitely thank you, Josh, if you're out there listening. We definitely appreciate it. And we'll have you on soon.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out, leaguepodcast.com, wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, League, which is League Podcast everywhere. So check us out. And we'll see you guys later.
Yes, I know, bitches.
Send us pictures of Spider-Man to feedback@leaguepodcast.com and put in the subject, truck driver magazine. Driver magazine.
So we'll do that.
Yeah.
And that'll be one of our topics next week, next time. Until then, that's all I got.
That's it. No more.
Keep on keeping on. Knock off! Goodbye!
I will strike when least expected.